Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Monday, the 15th day of the month of Cheshvan. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi David Wolkenfeld of Anshei Shalom B'nai Israel Congregation in Chicago, Illinois, to share Dibrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Wolkenfeld slowly reciting over three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed, their chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishnah Berach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Wolkenfeld to learn more about his wonderful community in Chicago. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavot, with great honor, Rabbi Wolkenfeld.
Hi, good afternoon. Greetings from Chicago to everyone listening. And perhaps I know some of you, and perhaps I'll have the chance to meet some of you in person under happy and healthy circumstances at some future occasion. The Parshiot, the Torah sections that we've been reading these past weeks and the next few weeks, are filled with references to this idea of a brit or a covenant. And many of these britot, these covenants, are made between God and all humanity in Parshat Noach, or between God and Abraham, and our patriarchs and matriarchs covenant that we, the Jewish people, have with God. There are also covenants, there are brichot, that the Torah describes as existing between human beings and their neighbors, okay? And so in last week's Parshat, we read that when Lot is taken captive, Abraham's nephew, the word reaches Abraham, and he gets his allies, and then they're described as Ba'alei Brit Avram, his allies. They had a covenant with him, and some mutual defense agreement. They would come and help each other. And coming weeks, we'll hear about how Abraham and Yitzchak each form a brit with their Philistine neighbors, with Abimelech, and that's and later on in the Torah as well. This continues onward, and I've been thinking of this idea as a theme for this week because, of course, if you haven't heard, we're on the cusp of a major election here in the United States, and the Hebrew phrase by which the United States is referred to is the Arzot HaBrit, like the land of the covenant. There's really no one exactly knows how that became the accepted Hebrew name for the United States. Some trace it back to the 1860s to the Yiddish novelist Moshe Mendela, Moshe Soferim. It seems to go back earlier, though, to the 1850s, actually, and perhaps even earlier. I mean, it's no one really, I don't think it's been conclusively determined. One of the earliest references refers to the United States as Eretz Anshei HaBrit, which I think is a really lovely way of describing our country, a land of people who have made a covenant, amongst ourselves. And that's sort of a really great way of describing our democracy and the relationships that we have to one another. And so as we read these Torah portions of Sefer Bereishit, and we learn how our ancestors, the patriarchs and the matriarchs, how they interacted with their neighbors and how they interacted with each other, and even the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship with God, is about that sense of reliability and mutuality and permanence and being there for one another and being invested in the welfare of one another. And that's sort of the spirit that we should take into our voting tomorrow, if we haven't done so already, and really even the more so into the weeks and months and years ahead as we kind of contemplate what it means to be, neighbors and citizens and the type of alliance and goodwill and care and concern that we owe one another. It can be hard and divisive times to remember that, but that's a brit is something that withstands even divisive times, even rockiness and along the way, like it's still there for us. And we've been called, again, Eretz Anshei HaBrit or Arzot HaBrit. We have this promise that we've made to one another as Americans, and please God, we should be able to stand and fulfill that promise towards one another, really not just in our voting, but really in our care and concern for each other in the coming weeks, in the coming months, and then and onward for many years to come. I'm going to recite the Tehillim now and then say Yishabeach for healing. I'll start with Psalm 23. I'll read quietly, so please read along. I'm sorry, not read quietly. I'll read loud. I'll read slowly. Please read along. Mizmor leDavid Adonai roi lo echzar Vino geshe yarbitzeni amei menuchot Inahalengi Nafshi yishavet Yamcheni v'magle tzedek leman shemo Gam ki elech b'geit salmavet lo ichaza Ki ata imadi shiftecha u'mishantecha heima yinachamuni Tarach lefanai shulchan neged tzorerai Bishanta v'ashem en rashi kosi v'vaya Ach tov v'chesed yidufuni kol yimei chayai V'shavti b'beit Adonai v'yorech yamim. And I'm going to read Psalm 121. Shir lama'alot esayinai el harim miyayin yavo ezri ezri mi'im Adonai osei shamayim va'aret al yiten lamod reglecha al yanun shamrecha Hine lo yanun v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha, yad yeminecha Yoman ha-shemesh lo yakecha, v'yareach b'layla Adonai yishmacha mikora, yishmor et nafshecha Adonai yishmor tzedcha v'oecha, miyata v'yad olam. And the final psalm of today will be Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot b'ma'amakim k'ratiicha Adonai Adonai shima v'koli t'yana oznecha kashuva b'kol tachanunai Ima b'not t'shmaya Adonai niya'amot Kimcha ha-selicha l'man t'varei K'viti Adonai k'vita nafshi v'baro ho'chalti Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim l'boker, shomrim l'boker Yachel Yisrael el Adonai Kim Adonai chesed v'arbeim ofudut V'hu yifded Yisrael mikol avonotav. And Sami Shaberach of Bracha, blessing for those who are ill. I'm going to pause. You can say names of those you know who are and I have a list that have been shared with me by members of my community, so I'm going to try to read through those names during the pause as well. It's a medium-sized list, so we'll take a pause for a moment or two. So you can take your time as well and think of all those who need refuah, people you know personally and people throughout the world who are in desperate, desperate needs of refuah right now. Misha Berach, Avotein, Rav Hanitzach, Yaakov, Hashem, Ron, David, Shalom, Oy, Berech, Rebet, Rebi, Atach, Olot. Babu Shakalaka, Mipalim Babura, Mipkazakas Bach, and they reckon they laugh and I'm never done back. Become the Achayata, Shaklehem, and the Kulish of 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 us and our brothers and sisters who are in distress all over the world, wherever it may be, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu should really rescue all of us. It's not just them, it's really all of us. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, matzim b'tar v'shiv yom, din b'miyah, b'miyah, b'shem, akam yurachem, aleyhem, yotzim, tzara levacha, v'yastel orami shiv, v'dugul hashta, v'azman kariv, v'nomar, Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Wolkenfeld. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank God. Thank God. I'm doing well, and my family, thank God, is healthy and, you know, day by day getting through these very, very challenging times. And the community is, I'm really pleased to say, is resilient. We are, again, it's a hard time for everyone, but we are getting through day by day, finding ways to connect to one another, to support one another, to find safe ways to daven together and to maintain our communal life even under very, very strange and very, very challenging times.
Absolutely, and we're happy to hear you're getting through day by day. It takes much resilience during these challenging times. So to get us started, for our listeners who, we've had a number of rabbis from different areas in Chicago, I think most recently Skokie last week, but for our listeners who may not be familiar with your community, with your shul, can you give us a brief overview of Anshe and the community overall?
Yeah, sure. So our shul is in a neighborhood called Lakeview, which is a little bit removed from the Lev Liba, the center of Jewish life in the Chicago area, which is a little bit farther to the north in the Skokie area or West Rogers Park. We're a more urban neighborhood, closer to the heart of downtown, and we're like a little island. We have in our neighborhood of, you know, Reform Orthodox Conservative Synagogue, and just within a mile of each other, and all of us are several miles away from the heart of the Jewish community in the Chicago area. We do have an Eruv, and we have a kosher restaurant, and we have a mikveh, and we have local day schools, but otherwise we're a little bit, it's like the best of being an out-of-town community, a lot of niceness and a lot of kindness and a lot of communal cohesion, but we have also all of the resources of a larger community, right? So we get all the kosher food we need and the diverse educational opportunities and in day schools and yeshivas are in the area, but I think in our little shtetl of Lakeview, there's a kindness and a openness and a tolerance and welcoming nature, which is a very Midwestern and very small Jewish community as well. So that's sort of the best of both worlds here in Lakeview. And it's as an urban neighborhood, we have a mix of people as well. We have a lot of young people who moved to Lakeview and right after school. They're here for graduate school. They're here for professional school. It's their first jobs out of college. A lot of parents of young children. And as the day schools have grown, as the Aleph has existed now for 20 years, as the mikveh now is in its 11th year, people are staying, and people are staying longer and not necessarily rushing to move to the suburbs as their families grow. People are deciding to raise their families and stay in the neighborhood, which is beautiful, beautiful to see. And we also have, you know, people with grown children and empty nesters and single folks and older folks. It's the full range of ages and backgrounds in our neighborhood.
Wow, sounds amazing. A true chowin pot of Judaism, representing so many different types of segments. It really sounds really great, and who would not want to be part of a community that's using your words of chesed and kindness and welcoming? Sounds like incredible ways to describe the special people who are a part of your community. Rabbi Wolkenfeld, the world's changed so much. We're experiencing changes daily, especially for these past 8 months, and as we continue to go through it day by day, what communal changes do you see for your shul, for the Jewish community as a whole, as we look near Hashem, hopefully soon, for a post-COVID-19 world?
Yeah, so I think on a very, you know, mundane level, I think there are ways in which we have, you know, like technological ways that we've connected during these COVID times that we should have been doing years ago, and there's no reason to stop, right? Like, you know, why not broadcast, you know, a weekday shachri, you know, over Zoom for people who can't be in shul? Like, it takes, you know, 30 seconds to set up, and it allows people who can't make it, who could never make it, right, to participate in ways to feel a part of the community. Why not broadcast shiurim to people who can't make it to the building, you know, on a weekday evening? Why not broadcast that and make that available electronically for others? So even when we go back to more in-person activities, I hope we'll always keep in mind, well, who's not in the room, who can't be in the room for all sorts of reasons, and let's include them, right? I think we're learning that a lot of in-person meetings that maybe should have been Zoom meetings all along, and maybe we'll keep some of them as electronic meetings because it's just easier for certain types of activities. At the same time, you know, so that's like a very mundane, like simple answer. I think a broader answer, I think we've learned how important community is, and we've also learned that community is so much more than just like people in the building, right? I think sometimes It was very easy for us. Thank God we used to have a lot of people in shul on Shabbos morning. You know, certainly by the second half of Musaf, we had a lot of people in shul, a lot of adults, a lot of kids, full range of kids programming, you know, like dozens and dozens of children of all ages and hundreds of adults were in our building on Shabbos morning. And so it was very easy to be complacent. And, oh, wow, like there are, people are showing up, so it must be a strong, vibrant community. And obviously that's one sign of a strong, vibrant community, but who are those people who's coming without knowing anybody and meeting without meeting anybody, right? And who's suffering and their neighbors who sit next to them in shul don't know, right? And so community is so much more than just being in physical proximity and living in the same neighborhood. It's about actually caring about one another's life, that concept of grief that I was mentioning, right? Are we there for one another? Are we invested in each other's mutual welfare and their flourishing as human beings, and we stand up for them when they need a little bit of support? And I think we've seen how, all right, we can't be all together by the hundreds in our shul building, so what are the ways that we are in each other's lives, supporting each other's lives? And I think many of those ways really need to continue, even when, please God, we're back, you know, in physical proximity in ways that we're not right now.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and I might go a little bit in the same direction of what you were just sharing, but it triggered something in my mind. When I began working for the OU in the Southeast, and I would visit communities and meet with rabbinic and leadership, this was back a little over 5 years ago, in my initial meetings with many of these in leadership positions, and we would talk about, learn more about their community, who their community is, what makes it distinct and unique and special, but also have an opportunity to share and explore ways that the OU be beneficial to these communities. And one of the branches, one of the departments, a wonderful department of the OU is YACHAD, National Jewish Council for Disabilities. And when I would bring this up in conversation, the number of times the rabbi or the president of the shul would respond going, oh, we don't have anyone with special needs in our shul, in our community. To which I would respond delicately, but with a little bit of a pushback, saying, statistically, that doesn't make any sense. And there probably are people, but you have to make your shul. You're right. You don't have anyone like that in your shul. But how can we help your shul become a more welcoming place where those individuals will feel comfortable and be able to attend, be able to participate? And I think that's one of the takeaways from COVID-19, and that's where I tie it into your.
No, that's a great, that's absolutely a takeaway, and I'll just the only thing I'll just add is that we had a Yachad Shabbaton scheduled for the Shabbos that we had to cancel, right? Our last, the first Shabbos we canceled was going to be a Yachad Shabbaton. That was one of those sort of sad decisions. You know, at the beginning of the week, we're like, oh no, I think we're going to have to cancel the Yachad Shabbaton. And by the end of the week, we canceled everything and we stayed closed for a number of months, So it's on our agenda definitely as one of our, you know, short list of things to schedule for once. As soon as it's safe, then we can do it. We feel like, you know, the community is owed a Yachad Shabbaton, and we want one, and the Yachad participants deserve one in our community. So hopefully that'll happen just as soon as it can.
Amazing. Please, God, we hope so. Everyone, thank you so much for being on the call and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. It really does sound like a very special place. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabbon Eshe Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration. Rabbi David Rosenbaum of the Young Israel Shomer Yamuna of Greater Washington in Silver Spring, Maryland. So impressed with myself today. Held off the S from Silver Springs and the S from Illinois. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy,